FDA just approved Leqembi, a drug to slow the cognitive decline of Alzheimer's patients, and Medicare has agreed to pay for it. But last year, FDA approved a fairly similar drug, Aduhelm, and that did not go too well. Medicare refused to cover it, and the acting FDA commissioner, Janet Woodcock, was forced to retire. So what's changed and what hasn't? Is it time for patients, families, and physicians to be excited? Or should we temper our hopes? Welcome to Care Talk, America's home for incisive debate about healthcare business and policy. I'm David Williams, president of Health Business Group.
And I'm John Driscoll, the president of Walgreens Health.
If you like the Care Talk podcast, you'll love the Care Talk newsletter. It's where you can read trending healthcare industry news, keep up with the latest podcast episodes and highlights, access original blog posts by healthcare thought leaders, and dive deeper into our podcast topics. Subscribe today, and you'll be entered into a chance to win your very own Care Talk baseball cap.
Seasonally appropriate. David, tell me, what is this Leqembi drug, and how should we think about it against the horrible brain-wasting disease of Alzheimer's?
So it's a new drug, and it has regular approval for early-stage Alzheimer's. It had received accelerated approval at the start of the year, and now it has just a regular approval. It's made by Eisai, which is a Japanese pharma company, in partnership with Biogen, who you may remember from Aduhelm. And the way that it works is it reduces the number of amyloid beta plaques that you have in the brain, and it is said to modestly slow the cognitive decline in people with early stage Alzheimer's disease.
But it's pretty complicated. It's not like a typical pill. It's not a stable chemical compound. It requires, I think, every other week infusions, as well as a fair amount of scans to make sure that there are no side effects to your brain. And it's based on the theory, which I think is pretty well documented, but not completely agreed on, that amyloid plaques, those signs of the disease in the brain that you have to actually get a pretty elaborate scan, it really attacks those amyloid plaques. And so you need to have access to a really expensive scan. You need to be required to take these infusions every other week. And then you got to probably be monitored for any side effects to the brain, because we're still at the early stages of understanding this disease as well as the consequences of this drug. Is that the right way to think about it?
Well, John, you went right to pouring cold water on it, and you're focusing, as we often do here, about what's actually happening in the healthcare delivery system. And so one reason that this drug is not going to have such a big impact, even if it were to work great, which it doesn't, is there's a bunch of bottlenecks in the system. First of all, just in primary care, getting an appointment and being able to determine if somebody is a good candidate, you do need testing. One is to see if you actually have the amyloid plaques in the first place. People have dementia without having that. So you have to have the PET scans. Then you have to have the scans as you go further to make sure you don't have brain swelling or brain bleed. You also need to have, even before you have the drug, you need to have a genetic test, because there is a certain mutation that's fairly common that makes it much more likely to have the brain bleeds. And then the infusion itself, it's every couple of weeks you have to have an infusion. Now, the good news, it's an intravenous infusion, which is more like other drugs people might be familiar with, like Remicade. And then one more thing, which is makes it a challenge, but also I think is a good thing, is you need to be enrolled in a registry, so the government is tracking how well does this product actually work in the real world, not just in the limited clinical trial that was done.
Now, Alzheimer's is obviously a devastating disease, and as people live longer, we're seeing an enormous increase in the number of Americans diagnosed with Alzheimer's, which is, you know, sort of an accelerated cognitive decline that is just terribly alienating for any family that suffers from it. And some of those cases are showing up early in people's lives, as early as in the 50s, as well as the folks who are really old. I mean, one of the challenges for Alzheimer's is, while it's growing like crazy, it actually requires a fairly specific set of tests carried out by a specialist to determine even whether you've got true early indications of Alzheimer's or whether it's your cognitive decline is consistent with sort of your genetic makeup and your age. I mean, it's not that uncommon for folks to have modest cognitive decline as the brains shrink with age. The challenge is we've got this devastating disease, Alzheimer's, that's growing like crazy within the population, that is devastatingly burdensome for the healthcare system and for the families. And so I do think that the FDA is leaning in, trying to build, support the positive case that Eisai, the manufacturer, and Biogen are making, that even a modest slowdown in cognitive decline that is shown in the tests, in the clinical trials rather, it is a rationale to at least get this drug out into the population to lighten the burden for those families affected. But it's not cheap. It's I think it's north of $26,000 a year per drug. And that's before you even get into all the tests and scans. In addition, it's got to be probably administered and managed by specialists. But I'm modestly encouraged, Dave, that this drug actually is showing some results, because this is an area where most drugs have failed and failed pretty miserably in showing success at slowing or stopping this disease.
John, there's a lot of big picture questions from a policy standpoint, clinical standpoint, and so on. One thing that people are asking who are affected by this in their family, they ask me, does Medicare cover Leqembi? And the answer here is yes, that there is broad coverage by Medicare now that the drug has regular approval. And that's a big difference from Aduhelm, which just had conditional approval. Yeah, you have to meet the criteria. You have to be part of a registry. You're also likely to have some out-of-pocket costs that are up to about $6,000 per year. But this is something where, unlike the previous drug, Aduhelm, it actually does demonstrate some impact on cognition. Aduhelm just showed that, the plaques were reduced, but didn't show any improvement here. So Medicare covers it. And I think the other thing is that there are some differences with Aduhelm in terms of the safety profile. We mentioned this concern that you have to get scans. That's right. That's because for Aduhelm, 40% of the patients had some evidence of brain swelling or brain bleeds. And that's compared to 21% in the Leqembi trial and about 9% of those on placebo. Now, not all of those are symptomatic. And one of the reasons for the registry is to try to understand what's going on. In terms of the price, John, you're right. It's $26,500, what they put it on the market for. Now, Aduhelm is on at $28,000. Originally, it was $56,000. So they actually cut the price there, but it's still above. Biogen's involved with both. So I think those are some of the questions that people are actually needing to make the decision for their family members or themselves are confronting.
I think that there's elements here as we think about the devastation and the importance of a real social investment here, that there are other conditions that are tightly associated with advanced risk for Alzheimer's. One is diabetes, the other is high blood pressure. And, some of the, I think, public health questions are, why aren't we spending that money that we might otherwise would use for expensive drugs in really testing out better public health responses to how to manage high blood pressure and how to manage and change behavior in diabetes? These are really cluster diagnoses in the sense that they start with one disease and they spider out into all kinds of other disease conditions that if we can get our arms around as a society, diabetes and slowing that down, chronic heart failure and chronic heart disease, we actually might slow down Alzheimer's using the tools we've already got.
John, this is a real conundrum for people working in public health, and especially with minority communities. So on the one hand, as you say, hypertension, diabetes are real contributors, causal contributors to dementia, to Alzheimer's, and all sorts of other challenges. And if you look at what happened in this clinical trial, even though Black people are more likely to have Alzheimer's than other parts of the population in the U.S., fewer were enrolled in the clinical trial. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. There's a couple of reasons, John. One is that there's tends to be, because of less access to healthcare, people tend to be diagnosed later when they're not going to be eligible because this drug only works at early stages. And then, as I mentioned before, there's a genetic test that you have to take to make sure you're not going to be affected by the brain bleed. And Black people, at least for the trials, are something like twice as likely to have that mutation. So now if you're in the community, you're saying, I want to do something here, you say, well, on the one hand, I've got a drug that's approved and Medicare will pay for it. So I'm not really deciding, hey, do I spend this $28,000 or $26,000 on prevention versus treatment? No, that you're not being offered that. So it's a real conundrum, but I think it highlights from an overall policy standpoint where the focus should be. And by the way, if you have, you know, if you don't have diabetes and you don't have hypertension, you don't have the chance of a negative side effect, maybe from the drug, but it's generally you're going to feel better, you're going to be better. Whereas you take this drug, there may be a modest effect that you might not even notice, the family might not notice, but you've got a real risk of a serious side effect.
Well, I think the public health warning we can give without any clinical background is based on what the clinical trials showed. Anyone who's on this drug has got to be finding their way to a specialist and making sure they're scanning for any of the risks. But I think that what I'm encouraged by, David, is that they're, in a way that the process didn't see positive results, but had hope with Aduhelm, hope more than performance. With Leqembi, you're actually seeing some performance, and I think that more drugs can build on that. So I'm modestly optimistic. And the other thing I'd say is that the CARES Act that Biden pushed through actually requires much more of a more representative sample in clinical trials, and so we're actually making progress on that. Again, I think Alzheimer's deserves more time and probably with someone who's a clinical expert, but at least from the cheap seats, I think this is modestly positive.
John, I agree with that. You know, what I mentioned before, Janet Woodcock basically lost her job, had to go into retirement because she helped to press through Aduhelm. If you keep in mind the broader context where there's a lot of money being invested in drug research in different places, you want to encourage it to go into Alzheimer's, which is a gigantic unmet need. And so the idea that, hey, okay, if we believe this plaque hypothesis, which some do, here's something that reduced plaques in the case of Aduhelm, so it was approved. Now here we've got something that shows some evidence on the cognitive decline as well. So you want to actually encourage companies to continue doing development. Otherwise, they may say, well, there's no drugs for Alzheimer's 10 years from now because we found out that you can't actually get approved and make money from doing it. So we have to keep all of those things in mind as well. Well, John, that's it for yet another episode of Care Talk. We've been talking about Alzheimer's today and a drug that looks at least a little bit more exciting and worthwhile than what we've seen in the past. I'm David Williams, president of Health Business Group.
And I'm John Driscoll, the president of Walgreens Health. If you like what you heard, we'd love you to subscribe on your favorite service.